I'm one of the curators at the Plant Germplasm Introduction, Testing, and Research Unit in Pullman, Washington. And we're part of the National Plant Germplasm System. One of the genera that I work with is Allium, and I've been fortunate enough to be involved in several collecting trips related to Allium, both overseas and in the United States. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the work that I've done with a native Allium species. So first I'd like to talk a little bit about the genus Allium, and then I'll talk about the North American species, then the species that I've collected that I've personally worked with, and then the one species that I've done most of my work with, which is Allium acuminatum. And that work was done in relation to the Great Basin Restoration Project. That's a Bureau of Land Management project. So first, about the genus, it's in the Amaryllidaceae family. There's 15 subgenera in the genus. There's over 800 species, and they primarily occur in the northern hemisphere. There's one species, Allium schoenoprasum, which is chives, that occurs circumpolarly. So there's wide usage for Allium. They're used for food. They're used as medicinals and ornamentals. So the major food species are onion, garlic, leeks, chives, and Chinese chives. Medicinally, there's been a long history of use for both onions and garlic. You might be aware of the just recently, back in April, some microbiologists in the UK were playing around with a recipe out of a 10th century herbal or a leech book. And they mixed up a recipe they found using onions, garlic, cow bile, and wine. And they apply it to a culture that they had in their lab of the MRSA, one of the MRSA bacteria, and found that it actually killed the bacteria. So it's and historically, both onions and garlic have been used as antibacterials and also anti-anthelmintics. And some examples of ornamental use for Alliums are Allium mali, which is one of the yellow flowered species, Allium stipitatum, and Allium aflatoxinense, which are the large-statured, umbeled ornamentals, Allium sphericephalon, which is the drumstick Allium, and then Allium cernuum, which is the nodding onion. Alliums, onions, and garlic particularly have had a long history of use by people and cultivation. There's record of garlic cultivation in ancient Egypt, and there's there's records of carbonized garlic remains and onion remains dating back to the Bronze Era. So the centers of diversity for Allium. The primary center is in Central Asia and Iran and Turkey. But there are two centers of secondary diversity, and one is in the Mediterranean region, and the other is in North America. We have 87 species that occur in North America, with 57 of those occurring in the western U.S. These genera are in the Rhizoridium and the Amarallium subgenera. Some contemporary and historical uses for these are similar to the genus as a whole. Food, Allium trachocum, is widely collected in the eastern U.S. Also, there's documentation for Allium canadense, drummondii, and acuminatum, being collected both the bulbs and the leaves, being used as an herb or as a food component. So medicinally, most of the documentation for the North American species is through the Native American tribes. I did a real quick search looking for contemporary studies using Native American species as medicinal studies, but I wasn't able to find any. So these are all historical uses. So primarily they're for wound care, again, antibacterial, anthelmintic, preventing worms or treating worms, and cold remedies. We do have a few North American species that are in the ornamental trade. Allium cernuum, the nodding onion, is readily available commercially. And the other couple species that are listed as examples, they're more available as for either the alpine gardens or rock garden enthusiasts. So the species that I've worked with in collecting are Allium fibrillum, which is this one, and you can see the range here, it's in orange. And they're all the species I've worked with, they're primarily up in the eastern Washington area. So, and then Allium columbiatum, I worked with these two species for my master's thesis, and I looked at the diversity of those two species over several locations. And then Allium deglacii, I've done a little bit of collecting with Allium deglacii, and this is its range. Again, it's a fairly small range here. But it, as you can see, has a really nice globe-shaped umbel, and it's got a fairly large stature for Allium, so it makes it attractive as an ornamental. And then I've done just a teeny little bit of collecting with Allium schoenoprasum, and schoenoprasum is the one that occurs circumpolarly, and its range is all of North America. And we were collecting on a collecting trip in Montana, and I did find populations of Allium schoenoprasum in Montana, which was it's pretty exciting to me. I always enjoy finding the wild species and that I've worked with extensively in an agriculture setting out in the wild. But the one that I've worked most with is Allium acuminatum, the taper tip onion. You can see its range is large, extends all the way from British Columbia down to Southern California. And we were interested in looking at Allium acuminatum because it's a component of the greater sage-grouse and southern ground squirrel habitat. And again, this project was initiated because it's part of, part of the Great Basin Restoration Project, a BLM project. As with majority of other alliums, Allium acuminatum does make true seed, and it also has bulbs. So we decided on this project to collect bulbs from the locations that that we found. So we collected from 56 locations in Oregon, Idaho, and northern Nevada. And again, we collected bulbs from these populations because Allium acuminatum takes 3 years to go from seed to seed, so for our project we wanted to be able to collect results in a shorter time frame from that. So the material that we collected were planted in two common gardens. There are two locations, one in Central Ferry, Washington, and the other in Pullman. We had four replications with four bulbs each. We collected a number of data points, leaf related to the leaf, characteristics, flower characteristics, the umbel characteristics, and then seed maturity date and then seed production per plant. So all that information was analyzed using principal component analysis, and the characteristics were grouped according to morphology, phenology, and production characteristics, along with the site characteristics, primarily elevation, and then climate data, so temperature, precipitation, and then frost measurements for the particular sites. So the result of that was, so the point of the project was to develop seed zones for Allium acuminatum. So again, this is a species that we're interested in using for revegetation and restoration work for the sage grouse or for wildfire revegetation. And you can see we have 9 seed zones here, and the dots are where the collection sites that we collected material from. And these zones are over the level 3 Omernick ecoregions. And this is a tool. The seed zones are a tool for land managers and for growers, anybody who's interested in growing Allium acuminatum for seed production, and also for myself as a curatorial tool, so that instead of 56 populations to be managed and curated, I can narrow that down to a smaller number of populations, and maybe combine some so that I'm getting a good broad representation of the genetic diversity of the species in this particular area. So the last thing we did with Allium cuminatum was a little, was a fairly small trial where we looked at, can this species be moved from the wild and grown commercial in a farm setting, in an agricultural setting? So we looked at two methods of planting, hand planting and mechanically planting, and then also some spacing differences in the bulbs. And we planted bulbs, and we took similar similar data as to the common garden plots. And basically, we found no statistical difference on the type of planting, and we did find a little bit of difference between the spacing, and that was mostly for bulb production. So if because there are two propagules, you can either put seed out as you're in the landscape if you're reseeding or revegetating, or because the bulbs are fairly small and they will fit in most of the wildland planters, you can use bulbs as a propagule. And that's actually kind of, from my point of view, it's very attractive because Allium cuminatum has been shown to be a good early season a pollen source for native pollinators. So if a land manager is interested in that attribute of Allium cuminatum, then putting out bulbs on the landscape would be beneficial. So, but we did show, I think for me, the biggest biggest impact that our small trial had was to show that we could grow Allium cuminatum in an agricultural setting and get seed. It would survive, and we would be able to produce seed and produce bulbs. So with that, I'd like to say thank you and answer any questions if you have any.
Do you have any questions for Ms. Heather? I have one question.
Okay. And then in the back.
Somebody else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Did you say from chives in nature?
Yes.
Okay. Is it real one or is it escape or?
No, it's so the question was, did I find chives in nature? And the answer is yes. So in the location that, and then the second part of the question, was it an escape? And that question, and the answer to that is no. Where I found it was in a very remote place in the forest up in northern Montana. So there wasn't, it wasn't close to anybody's garden or even anybody, any a cabin that might have been there for old logging, an old logging settlement or mining. It was very remote and it hadn't been disturbed in years and years. So yeah, it's documented to be wild all around the globe. So. In the back?
Did you notice a large difference in time of flower you started with the seed compared to a bulb?
So we didn't actually do that. We only worked, and the work that I did with Allium cuminatum, we only worked with the bulbs. So we collected bulbs from the wild and then used them in our Carmen Garden studies and then in the production. But other researchers, other people have looked at seed-to-seed production and they found it. Yeah. So I didn't do any work with that. Yes? So have I tried? So the question was, have we tried growing Allium cuminatum in other conditions? So we haven't done that, but it has been grown out in a more agricultural setting down in the Boise, Idaho area, which is it's got a little less rainfall than we have, so it's not dramatically different. But I would think it probably wouldn't do well in an area with high rainfall, because like all alliums, it occurs in dry and really rocky soil. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.